This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so grateful to be with you again today. I know some of you listeners have heard the story about me and my injury, shattering my leg and having a metal plate and 10 pins put in the leg, and the concern I had about being able to walk again, but even more importantly, the drive that I wanted to dance again. And our God is an almighty healer. And, you know, sometimes we might ask the question as to, you know, why me, God? Or we might be asking the question on, well, you healed her. Are you going to heal me? Am I going to be able to get out of this wheelchair? These are questions. And whether it's a wheelchair or some other issue that you're facing, you know, we're in this together, number one. And number two is that we need to look up and you know, lean on God. And we don't have all the answers. We don't. God does, but we don't. So if you're facing some other trial or tribulation where you're not really knowing the outcome, because we don't have a crystal ball and we can't see the future, we do have control though over our attitude, and our attitude determines our altitude. And we have a choice in that, don't we? We have a choice on how we're going to deal with whatever is thrown in our court, whatever we're dealing with. We have a choice on how we're going to handle that. And we can sit back and say, poor me, or we can say, what part of this can I do something about? What part of it can I not do something about? And knowing the difference between those two, and then dealing with what you can deal with, and then leaving the rest to God, just leaving it with him and trusting that he's got you, because he does have you, especially if you ask him. He's got you. I pull open this book quite often, and it's Jesus Calling. And for the date of today, this is what it says, which is amazing, but not so really amazing, that it goes along with today's subject matter, which I'll get into, so hang in there. Self-pity is a slimy, bottomless pit. Once you fall in, you tend to go deeper and deeper into the mire. As you slide down those slippery walls, you are well on your way to depression, and the darkness is profound. Your only hope is to look up and see the light of my presence shining down on you. Though the light looks dim from your perspective, deep in the pit, those rays of hope can reach you at any depth. While you focus on me in trust, you rise ever so slowly out of the abyss of despair. Finally, you can reach up and grasp my hand. I will pull you out into the light again. Isn't that a wonderful picture? I will gently cleanse you, washing off the clinging mire. I will cover you with my righteousness and walk with you down the path of life. And that's your devotion for the day. Today, I have a special guest with me, and her name is Lily Simmons. Welcome, Lily.
Thank you, Sue. It's nice to be here.
You have a wonderful voice, Lily.
Thank you, Sue.
I told you when I first walked in and met you that Lily, another name for Lily is Susan. And so I thought it was neat that your name was Lily. I just love that name. I love Lily's.
I love Susanna.
You do? Yes. Well, great. So Lily, just a little background, was placed first runner-up in the 2007 Miss Wheelchair California pageant. And she published her first book, The Morning Dove, in 2005. In The Morning Dove, Lily shares her life, her struggles, and her insights, along with hope, courage, and inspiration, through the prism of biblical truths. She reveals the process of becoming a mature son, daughter, by submitting to the Father heart of God. Her words will minister to anyone who is struggling with the need to make a change. So, Lily,
I want to talk about when I first met you. You're in a wheelchair. And you won first runner-up in a wheelchair contest. I didn't even know that existed.
A lot of people don't.
Yes.
I didn't as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack a little.
Okay, please
do. So people will know why I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I would like to know that myself.
I was born with what's called an artery vein malformation of the spinal cord. And was unknown to most of the doctors. It was diagnosed in the 1980s. The symptoms are much like someone who has multiple sclerosis. But I'm going to back up even a little further than that.
Okay.
How I came to the Lord when I was 5 years old. I didn't know the Lord. I was brought up Catholic. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I remember quite distinctly a shadow following me all my life. I felt something terrible was going to happen to me. I didn't voice it, but I voiced it to the Lord. As a child of five, I had a dream of Jesus, and I was sitting on his lap. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit. And I was about 18 or 19 and in a relationship. I was going to be married to my high school sweetheart. I had told him something terrible is going to happen to me. I'm going to be in a wheelchair. And he didn't believe it. He said that, why do I say things like that? I shouldn't say things like that. And I said, I just know it. And we got married. I had two daughters. When I was pregnant with my first daughter, my mother became a Christian. And she was the evangelist of the family. She started telling us about the Lord. She took me to a woman's Bible study in a home near where I live now, and I accepted the Lord there. And then later she took me to a, believe it or not, a Catholic church where there was a born-again, spirit-filled Catholic priest. And he was holding meetings with healings, and if anybody wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, she took me there, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a miraculous, beautiful way. And then I continued my walk in the Lord, continued reading the Word, growing. I ended up at a Calvary Chapel. And during this time, I began just praying and asking the Lord to keep me close to Him. Don't ever let me backslide. And I was reading my Bible, watching a Christian television program. Kids were asleep. And all of a sudden, something popped in my spinal cord, and I felt blood dripping down. Intense pain, complete paralysis. I could hardly move. My husband was working at the time. I had to call him and ask him to take me to the hospital. Had my mom come over, watch the kids. By the time we got there, I could start moving my left side. But tingling, there was this tingling feeling all on my left side, numbness, weakness. I was very scared. I was only 23, maybe 22 even. And I got there. They had no idea what it was. They thought maybe since you just had your second child, this was quite ridiculous. He said maybe it was an ovarian cyst that popped. And I said, there isn't an ovarian. There isn't an ovary on my spinal cord.
Right.
I said, I felt it in my back. And I actually felt the blood drip down in the cord. And I'm still in pain. So he said, I'm sorry, I have no idea what it is. He sent me home. I went to see my gynecologist. He said, there is nothing wrong with you. And I don't know what it is either. And so a year continued with the progression of it without knowing what it was. Intense pain in the legs, weakness, the back. I thought, well, I'll just exercise. I was very athletic. Take better care of myself. You know, take vitamins, work out. And I continued to get weaker, but I wanted to live. I was only 22. And so I started working for the city where I lived and trying to take care of my two daughters. And it was I was in a bad relationship. He was an habitual adulterer, very abusive, and on drugs. And so I just felt I have to work to get myself out of this situation. And then I started falling at work. The pain intensified. I ended up at Huntington Memorial getting a neurological workup because the doctor that I was seeing said he thought that maybe it was multiple sclerosis. So there I went. They said, stay in the hospital one day. We'll run all the tests. Ended up a whole week because the final test that I had, all the other tests were coming up inconclusive. So the final test was an angiogram or spinal. They take fluid from the spinal cord and to see if it has that protein in it that will prove that you have multiple sclerosis. And I kept saying to the doctors, that's not what I have. I know I don't have that. And he was an intern. And so the radiologist injected the dye into my spinal cord, and he did not know that I would have a reaction to the dye. It went right into the very area of where it was already bleeding, into the arteries and veins, and so it intensified. And I began to bleed even more into the spinal cord. And the same episode happened where I completely lost all feeling, severe muscle contractions in every part of my body from my chest down, literally feeling like all my bones are going to break in my body because I couldn't control them.
That must have been so, so scary.
It was, especially for a 22-year-old.
No, yeah.
And I screamed, couldn't stop screaming. And the technician, he had left me with the technician, and by law, they can't touch you. And I said, please, please help me. I need you to relax my muscles somehow because I feel like my muscles, my bones are going to break. He said, I'm sorry, I can't touch you. But by that time, the doctor ran in because he heard me screaming down the hall. And he said, what's going on here? And he looked at the screen, and he realized that he saw something he had never seen in his life. And it was an artery vein malformation, and he could see it bleeding. And it scared him, of course. And he called all the hospital personnel to, you know, prepare a room for me. They were going to admit me, and so they did. And when I was waiting for my doctor to come and explain to me what I had, in walked the neurosurgeons of the top neurosurgeons of the hospital, the chief of staff, with all their white coats, and they lined up in my room. And so I thought, oh wow, sounds like something really bad. I thought they were going to tell me that I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came in, and my husband at the time was with me, and he sat down to explain exactly what an AVM is. They call it AVM, artery vein malformation of the spinal cord. And he explained that it isn't in their medical books. They can't learn it in medical school. He had to go down into the library of the hospital and read in their journals what exactly are the symptoms and, you know, the prognosis. And so the prognosis was to me, we can't help you. There is no hope. You're going to be a paraplegic for the rest of your life. And it's going to be very painful because the blood destroys the covering of the nerve endings. And so your nerves are exposed, and then everything just starts to die from the feet up or from the chest down. And I was a Christian. So I said to him, no, I will not be paralyzed. I have two children to take care of. I believe in God, and he heals, and he's going to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he said, well, would you like to see the psychiatrist on our staff? And I said, no, I'm going to be just fine. And I really believe that. I thought, God is going to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
This is just temporary. He's testing my faith. I'll be walking. And so I was released after a week. It was a very painful week, because my whole spinal cord had swelled up. The arteries and veins actually swelled up to the size of a straw.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to bring all the swelling down before I left, because he was worried that I would... He almost paralyzed me then completely.
Wow.
I went home and waited, because I didn't know. And I asked him, how long do I have before I become a complete paraplegic? He said, I don't know. It was a year. I had a year with my children, trying to do those things and enjoy them, play with them. And came to the point where I could not function. The pain was excruciating. I went to a small church near my home where the pastor there would look in on me, call me. And he did call me one day where I was so ready to take my life because I could not bear the pain. But I didn't, because I had two small girls. And he said, would you do me a favor and see a friend of mine in Beverly Hills? He's a doctor there, and he wants to see you. And I said, well, you and I both know that there's no hope for me, that there isn't any doctors that can help me because they don't know what an AVM is. I'm going to backtrack. When I was in the hospital during the workup, he did mention the doctor where he read the journals from, and his name was, he said, Dr. Dotman in Oatfield at the National Institutes of Health. Those were the ones, the only two doctors in the world that wrote this journal, and I remembered those names. So when he sent me to his friend in Beverly Hills, he said, would you please just do it for me? I said, yes, I will. I'll do it for you. And I said, but wait a minute. We don't have insurance right now because my husband was in between jobs at the time. He said that doesn't matter. He knows that. He's not asking for any money. He was an orthopedic surgeon. He said he just wants you to come. He wants to talk with you. I said, okay. I went. Very, very nice doctor. And he did tell me when I got there, you're right, I can't help you, but I think I know someone who can. He goes, I have other reasons that I wanted you here. And I said, what are those? And he said, I just want to give you some advice. Because of the rarity of your disease, many doctors are going to want to see you. They're going to want to experiment with you. They're going to want to stick needles in your spine. And I want you to promise me that you will not let any of them touch you. And I said, I promise. And he said, no, really, do you promise? I said, yes, I do. And then he said, well, I want you to go to Rancho Los Amigos. And I said, oh, they can't help me. He said, well, how do you know? And I said, because they said there's no one that can help me. He asked his nurse if she would speak with me. He goes, could you please talk with her? I have another patient. And she said, honey, just go. He has connections. Just go. And I said, okay. So they sent me there. And because I told her, she goes, why don't you want to go? And I said, because I'm so tired and sick. I could barely walk. And I can't wait in a waiting room for hours because I knew that it's a county hospital.
Right.
And she said, oh, you won't. And so I did go. And when I walked in the doors, someone came to meet us, brought us the paperwork, took us right into a room. I didn't have to wait at all. Met a doctor there who had just come in from Boston. He was there 2 weeks. And he was very familiar with the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. And when I met him, he also said, you're right, I can't help you. And I said, well, why am I here?
Right.
I was like, Lord, what are you doing? Why am I here? And so he said, I think I know someone who can. His name is Dr. Dotman and Ofield of the National Institutes of Health. And I said, I know that name. I remember that name. And he goes, you do? I said, yes. When I was first diagnosed, my doctor mentioned that name, that he wrote the journals on the artery vein malformation. He said, well, why didn't he send you to the National Institutes of Health? I said, I don't know. And he goes, oh, because you waited a year and now you have permanent damage to your spine. If he would have sent you right away, you'd probably be walking.
Ugh.
And so, you know, I was walking, but with help.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to have to put it before the board. They'll have to vote on it. And he said, please come back within a week and promise me you will. I said, I promise. He said, all right. He put it before the board. They voted on it. I was back within a week. And he had a big smile on his face, so I knew it was good news.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, they all voted unanimously to send you to the NIH, National Institutes of Health. And he goes, and that has never happened to me in my medical career, that all the doctors agreed. He said, someone's looking out for you. And I said, yes. And he put his arm around me and he said, if you were my wife or mother or someone I cared about, that's where I would send you. And just his kindness was so touching that I just couldn't stop crying because I had, you know, an abusive relationship at home and I didn't have that kindness. So for mm-hmm. him to be kind, thank God for doctors who have a good bedside manner.
Yes.
Especially when you're suffering.
Yes. Thank you for that. And I had some of those too. And it is wonderful. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And our guest today is Lily Simmons. You can stream on KKLA.com, click on and listen live. And that's Saturday, 6 to 7. If you're KKLA, we are syndicated. If you're listening and you're in the San Diego area, then it's KPRZ and that's at 4 o'clock. And up the coast, you can listen also. So, or you could just go on to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and click on podcasts, and you can listen to 3 years, pick and choose the guests you want to listen to, the dates you want to listen to, and the subject matter in which you want to listen to. There's so much information on those podcasts, and I would love to introduce you to them. And, you know, if you're listening today and you know somebody that could benefit, that it would be encouraging. And I know that we all know somebody that needs encouragement, don't we? So whether the encouragement is for you, then thank you, God, for encouraging you. And if you know somebody, then you can be a blessing to someone else by, you know, turning them onto the SueFreeze.com site and letting them know that God's there for them. Maybe it's through you. Maybe that's the person that God has chosen to touch, this one person. So never think that your life doesn't matter, because every one of us is here for a reason and a purpose. Make sure you look and ask for God to show you and reveal to you what yours is.
because he created you in his image to do his work. So just know that. And you know what? There's a good feeling about that. You mentioned something, Lily, about you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you about that because people, there might be people that have not experienced that and don't even know what that is. Can you explain what that is?
Well, I was just new baby in the Lord and was telling God, whatever you have, I want it. Everything. I want everything. And so when the priest asked if anyone wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, it didn't scare me because they were all speaking in tongues at the meeting and the nuns were singing in tongues and playing the guitar. It was just the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. And they were all in harmony.
Imagine that.
I know. So I, when he made the invitation, I said, yes. I looked at my mom and I said, yes. And she said, yes. We were just like, you know, let's take
whatever, all he's got,
everything,
right?
God has. Give it to me. So he takes us into the sanctuary and he begins these prayers. We repeated after him. And there was, I'd say, about 100 of us in there. Uh-huh. And he began to ask the Lord now to fill us all with the Holy Spirit. And I just couldn't tell you how.
It's hard to describe.
It's hard to describe because it's hard to tell someone what Kool-Aid tastes like unless they drink it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's so true. Hey, that's a good analogy.
And
I like that.
They have to taste it for themselves.
That's
but
right.
You feel a warmth. I felt this warmth over me, this love that I cannot explain. Mm-hmm. And then this language came out that I didn't know what it was, of course, because I never spoke it before. And I let it. I just said, I'll let it.
Let it
be,
go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
And it did. And I would say, a hunger for God like I had never had before. I wanted to devour the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Getting to know Him.
Getting to know Him.
Yeah.
That was the best part about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It was like nothing else could satisfy. I couldn't get enough of Him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a really good description. Yeah. And I that's the same type of experience I had. And I was worried that maybe He wouldn't give it to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried. And then, you know, when you have somebody that's gone through this and they're walking you through the process, they set you at ease to just let it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you just keep going and going. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And there's so many times where when I'm feeling really down and I start doing praying and getting into speaking in tongues. And there's Christians out there that might not have experienced this yet. And I just encourage you to seek that out because it's another level. It's another empowerment that God gives us to edify Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And ourselves.
And us.
Yes.
Yes. Because we're speaking in His language.
Yeah, it's kind of encouraging yourself in
right.
the Lord.
It is.
So it's and to hear the whole place erupt and everyone receive, I can't, it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it since.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an everyday thing,
Mm-mm.
is it? Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No. You want more of it, though.
Yeah.
So do I. I want more of that. So moving forward, where we were is you reconnected with the name that actually was represented as far as the journal that the original doctor that couldn't help you and said there was no hope. So now they all agreed that you're going to go see him. And what an act of God that was.
It was. It was a total act of God. And I realized that dark shadow that was over my life, it had a name. It was just before, just this dark thing that was over me, a scary thing. I lived in fear. I had a lot of fear in my life. And now it had a name. So it's one thing to have something, to give something a name that you can... I don't know how to explain it.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. Looking for God's love in the midst of death? The book Resurrection Monday is the true story of a death-to-life experience. It's the real-life story of Nancy and Chris Conant and how they triumphed over death. It begins with Nancy's diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. At the same time Nancy sees her health deteriorating, Chris receives a dream followed by unexplained events that help prepare him for the ultimate battle over his wife's life. Nancy eventually decides her life crash is too much to bear, so she deliberately ends her life. However, the doctors are stunned after God sends her back, alive, with purpose, and a prolific gift in art that could only be found in Christ.
Resurrection Monday is the book you won't put down. It gives hope to those suffering from disease, broken relationships, and abuse. It offers inspiration through the transforming power of God's love, that not even death can hold back the plans He has for us. Get your copy of Resurrection Monday on sale now at Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Okay, Lily, so I'm like waiting for the rest of the story. So go ahead and continue where we left off.
Arrived at National Institutes of Health, mm-hmm. They said that the AVM was not operable. I had to do a procedure where they would go in and stop the bleeding in the spinal cord. Did that for almost 10 years. That was my second home. Wow. And eventually the procedure didn't work. So you're gaining your strength, going to therapy, and then you're back down where you were again. It just is temporary. And it was a pretty much a roller coaster ride for me.
What was happening with your children all this time? Because you had little ones.
I was still taking care of them. They were growing up.
It's a lot of work.
And praying that the Lord would deliver me out of the abusive relationship that mm-hmm. I was in. And a miracle did happen, and He released me. The Lord released me. Even though I had every biblical reason to leave, the Lord released me from that marriage. And then eventually I met someone else and remarried, and he continued the struggle with me. And when we were married, my second marriage, they said that, would I consider surgery? And I said to the doctors, you said that it was inoperable. And he said, but I've been studying this for so long and have done a lot of surgeries that I think I can take yours out. I said yes to that because the procedures weren't working anymore and life was unbearable. And so I had the surgery and I was paralyzed from my chest down. And it's amazing what your body feels like when you can't feel a leg or it doesn't feel like your flesh. It feels just like a lump. I can't explain it. You don't feel human. You feel like an animal. So that was a long journey for me. I'd been a Christian for some time now, and I was already in women's ministries. I was teaching women's Bible studies, prayer groups, had a little church in our home. I was doing a lot for the Lord, but He had pulled me out of everything, even church. I couldn't even go to church. He was really pulling me and setting me aside to Himself. So when I got home, I had no physical therapy. My husband and I had to figure it out on our own. I already was in depression because that kind of follows anybody that has spinal cord injury. Depression is part of the game, but it was even worse. Mm-hmm. And I sunk deeper into depression and self-pity and didn't want to live anymore. But I had my two girls. They were at the time in high school. And so I went, had therapy, everything. It took a good 5 years of working out, therapy. And during the season, I call it a season because I'm not sure exactly of how many years, I was so full of pity, self-pity. I tried to take my life. I was so depressed. I felt that I could never get out of that bed and that I would never be able to do anything for the Lord. And every Christian wants to know, what's my call? What am I here for? And I said, oh, Lord, you're not going to leave me in this bed. I couldn't take it. And so He visited me that night. And He said, am I really enough? Am I all really your all in all? Or is it you just want my hand? Do you just want me or you want what I can give you? And I knew He was asking me to put my Isaac on the altar, just to what all my dreams, all my desires. And during this time, believe it or not, I was leading a Bible study in my home and we were studying the book of Hebrews. And it was all about the father heart and the father heart and how he disciplines his children. But if you look that word up in the Greek, it's not small children, which is technos. It's huios, H-U-I-O-S, means mature. So he was asking me, am I ready to be mature in the Lord, to be a mature son or daughter? Because even Jesus Christ, our Lord, learned obedience through what he suffered. And all those scriptures started coming before me. And I remember saying to the Lord, you're enough. Even if I don't leave this bed, if I never am able to teach another Bible study or even drive, I couldn't even drive anything, get out of the house, you're enough. I'll stay here. It's not my will, it's your will. Not my desires, your desires. Not my joy, your joy. I exchanged everything for his. And I believe that night I could say with Paul, it's no longer I that lived, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And I discovered my hope of glory. And I really understood that scripture about what it really meant. It was a revelation to me. And so after that night, the Lord began to really show me how much he loved me. Because I believe if he didn't, I couldn't have taken the discipline that I was under. He wanted to ground me in his love so that I could go through that season. And he started bringing up some things in my life that I needed to repent of, that I had some deep sins of unforgiveness and bitterness. And that was hard because of the state that I was in. My childhood wasn't great. My mother was abusive. My father was an alcoholic. And so I, as an adult, forgave them. They were Christians. We were all Christians. But I didn't realize that the little child of 5 years old was still hurt, was still wounded, and my soul needed some restoring, and my heart needed some mending, and my spirit needed renewing. And when I said okay to the Lord, and he didn't stop there. I had family members calling me and saying, you know, they heard this and that at church, and it reminded me of you, and, you know, it was about hypocrites, and because he told me if we're to be a mature son or daughter of the Lord, then we have to be better than the Pharisees and Sadducees. Our love has to go further. We have to love our enemies. We have to pray for those who persecute us. And we have to really mean it, and we have to live it. And so he was calling me to forgive my parents again, to ask their forgiveness. And this was a time of putting away childish things and moving forward in the Lord, removing those blocks, those spiritual blocks, those emotional blocks, you know, our mind, will, and emotions, bringing them under the Spirit of God, truly walking in the Spirit and not in our flesh.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and our guest today is Lily Simmons. When we choose to do those things, there's a freedom that comes from it. And, you know, there's so many psychologists, Lily, that I know that say, you know, that you don't need to deal with your past. And I totally disagree with that. And I had to do some major work in that area with the Lord's help. And he totally instrumentally put me in places where I needed to be in order to deal with things that I really didn't want to face. And each one of us has our things that we need to face. And they don't, you know, you think you can push them under the rug. You think that you don't really need to deal with them because that was then and this is now. And what you're saying is that God wanted you to forgive and to let it go because you can't do anything about it anyway.
He wanted me free.
He wanted you free. And you know what? He wants each one of you free too. He wants all of us to be free. And as long as we hold any unforgiveness, bitterness, if we hold those memories of our past and we don't let it go, sometimes, like with me, my parents are gone. They're gone. So I still need to forgive them even though I can't have a conversation with them. And I know that I've had conversations with them even though they're not here. We need to release people, and it gives us the freedom to forgive ourselves of decisions maybe we've made, right?
Yes.
And that's where freedom comes. And then, oh my goodness.
The miraculous thing is I would open my Bible and he would convict me with the scripture. And then my sister would call on the phone and give me the very same scripture.
Confirmation.
Yes. Couldn't get away from it.
Yes. I love that.
Can't be mad at someone when they're agreeing with God.
Yeah.
Even though it may not be a happy word.
Right.
So, yes.
He was. What a really wonderful story.
It was an amazing time with God, actually.
So is there anything else that the Holy Spirit's leading you, you know, as far as this story? Because I want to get into your book.
Okay. Last thing. he didn't want me staying there. And that's what I want to get across to our listeners.
Okay.
You know, there is a time to mourn, but there's a time to come out of it.
Yes.
And I didn't have the ability to come out of it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the Lord, I want to die more than I want to live. You have to be honest with God. He knows your heart. He knows everything you're thinking. I said, so if I'm going to, I almost lost my family over this. They didn't want to be around death. My husband didn't want to be around death. My kids didn't want, they were teenagers. And I said, and I could lose my family if I don't get out of this. So help me to want to live more than I want to die. And he did. The Lord answered that prayer. He gave me the strength and the will to want to live and to get out of that pit that I was in.
How did he do that? Did he talk to you?
He did. He talked to me.
Through scripture or audibly?
Through scripture and audibly, okay. And through dreams.
Okay. And so did he give you
dreams,
visions?
And visions.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain a vision?
I'm going to explain seven dreams, okay. In a row that he gave me.
Seven, one of my favorite numbers.
It was seven successive nights.
Okay.
I had a dream from the Lord, and each one was a vision of what he was going to call me into and the ministry and the authority that he was going to give me in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I didn't understand it. I said, wow, what were those seven dreams? It was a lot of Christians are talking about the seven mountains right now. And like I can give you an example, media, education, family, theater, the arts, entertainment, and government, things like that. And each mountain I had in my dream.
Hmm.
And I had taken some part in it. And the Lord was actually audibly speaking to me in each one. And I'll give you an example of one. He sent me to a certain city, and the days were dark. It was later, I would say, in the future. And he said, I have a word for that city. I want you to go and give a word to that city that if they don't repent of certain things, that they were going to face his judgment. I said, okay, Lord, I hope that's you. So I went to the middle of the city, and I began to shout, this is what the Lord has for this city. And the skies became dark, so dark, the clouds covered the sun. And the Lord said, leave now. Nobody would listen. So I left, and I ran because I knew God was, you know, whatever he was going to do. And I didn't look back. I couldn't look back. And so when I got back home in the dream, I said, Lord, you didn't do anything. They're going to laugh at me. He said, no, you didn't see what I did when you left. And so that's just an example of some of the visions that God had given me for 7 days, or excuse me, 7 nights. And then I had a girlfriend at the time. During that season, the Lord will separate you. I didn't have any friends come over. He didn't allow anyone to come see me. I only had one person that he allowed, a very mature worshiper in Christ. She led worship, and she was very prophetic. She had no idea. I had told no one of the dreams, not even my husband. I just pondered them to myself, and she came over one day to visit me. She would always come and comfort me, give me words, and she said, Lily, the Lord is showing you your sphere of authority and what your calling is in life. And I looked at her, and I said, you have no idea. And I shared with her only about the dreams, and she said, those are from the Lord, and he's showing you what he's going to do with you in the future. So that's what helped me to continue to get out of that slimy pit and move into the things of the Lord, even though I was still at home and not out of the wheelchair. I just knew it would be up to him. And a few years later, after I finished that Bible study with a friend, and he had dealt with both of us, we both moved on in the Lord. I was kind of her mentor. She moved away up north and joined a counseling group, a very well-known one, and the Lord placed her in her calling. So I was still waiting for him to do with me whatever he wanted. We moved, bought a home, and it was when I began going to a church there where we moved to that the Lord started unveiling my callings. I was out one day before I left the house. I read my devotionals. The Lord led me to Esther, and then I read the scripture in Esther where he said it, ask me anything up to half my kingdom. And I said, that's nice, Lord. You tell everyone that. You tell all your little children that. All of us have sure have read that scripture and thought, wow. So I read that, and then I opened my devotional, and it said, whatever the Lord decrees, no one can change it. I said, oh, okay. I went out on my scooter that day, wasn't driving yet, still in a wheelchair, and met a woman who I'd never met before. And she started waving at me. I'm like, who's that strange woman waving at me? She acts like she knows me. I don't know her. And she's calling me Jennifer. That's not my name. So I go, oh, okay, hi. I went along, you know, went along and paid my bills and came out, and she was still there. And I said, hi. And she's like, hi, don't I know you? I go, no. And she said, you're not Jennifer? I said, no. She goes, oh, I thought you were Miss Wheelchair California 2001 or something. I said, no. What's Miss Wheelchair California? And she had to explain it to me that it was started in the 70s by a doctor in Ohio who wanted women with disabilities to have a platform to showcase their abilities and to make an impact on their communities.
How wonderful.
And so I said, I wouldn't know how to do that. And she said, well, I think you would make a great Miss Wheelchair. I know the director. I'm going to give me your information. I'm going to email her and explain to her that I think you should join the pageant this year. And I said, and it was just happening so fast, of course, like God. And I said, okay. And she gave me the information. I went home and I said, surely my husband will say no, because I was 49 years old. I wasn't going to be in a pageant at 49 years old. So I went home and I said, you're not going to believe what happened to me. And I had just written my book, you know, a year or so before that, had done some book signings. And so he said, what happened? And I explained to him who I met, and they want me to join Miss Wheelchair California for the pageant, try out for the pageant. He said, oh, yes, you should do that. And I go, what? No, you're kidding. No, you need to do that. You need to get out there. And I'm like, okay, Lord. Then I remembered the scripture I read, and I said, wow, that's really interesting. How is God going to use this? And so I did. I went, ran, and took first place.
That is an awesome story. Mm-hmm. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And our guest today is Lily Simmons. So that explains how you got involved with the Miss. What did you have to do for that?
You have to develop a speech, a platform, what you're going to do in the community to remove architectural barriers, attitudinal barriers, because people still have attitudes towards people in wheelchairs.
Yes, they do.
There's still architectural barriers, even
yes.
after the laws have been passed in the
right.
1970s. So they like you to lobby in Sacramento, but I didn't live up there. So my girlfriend who took the crown, she lives in Sacramento, so she lobbied Congress. I told them my calling was because there was women that were with us that were, when we were in the pageant, that were mm-hmm. running, so depressed. You could mm-hmm. see it on their face.
Right.
And I said, my calling is to help them with depression and remove the spiritual and emotional barriers, because I've been through it. So that's really what my platform was to help women get past their emotional and spiritual barriers.
You know, what's amazing is as we go through this life, it is a journey, and we become more discerning when we have our own struggles that we go through, that it makes us more aware, I think, if we want to be. I think there's people that go through things and they just feel like they're the only ones going through what they're going through. And there's some comfort in just knowing there's other people that might be going through similar things. And when we can come together, you know, there's strength in mm-hmm. unity. But when we can come together and we can, you know, it hold each other up and help each other up, it's an amazing thing to experience that. And you being in that environment, you know, it was great for you because it gave you a platform and it gave you something that was positive and something you could think about and focus on. But it's also great for those that you got, that you were connected with, that you were discerning to know that they were depressed, because you might not have noticed that if you hadn't struggled with that yourself.
And I could sense of hopelessness
mm-hmm.
and it hurt me. I wanted to help them, and I felt that God would use me to help them get past those attitudes of hopelessness and depression, and also to make our community aware of the barriers that were still there. I would call City Hall constantly if I saw a barrier where I couldn't get past with my scooter, and I just would keep calling until it was removed. I'm very much against taking them to court or legal matters. I know that one aspect of Miss Wheelchair California does do that, but that's in the most rarest cases where we're not getting any positive feedback. And so that was my take on it, that I would just be like a squeaky wheel and just bring their attention to it so that they can include us in all aspects of society. That's what we really want. We want inclusion. We don't want to be shut out. I can't tell you how many restaurants still don't have restrooms that are accessible. And it does raise a little anger.
Yes,
but,
it does.
I do address it. I don't let it go by. I let them know that I can't get in there. You know, would they consider changing it? I do know the IRS gives them a discount if they will. And it saddens me that a lot of people still have a negative approach. They don't want to change it.
Right. See, I've experienced this. Now, it opened my eyes to so many things in church. To being a walker, you're on one leg, you're not on two legs because one leg can't have any weight on it. So you're on one leg all the time. So that gets tiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to be standing, waiting in a bathroom to get into a stall, when there is a handicapped stall there and somebody walks out with everything going for them because they didn't want to wait, and you're standing there because you only have one leg you can stand on and you're exhausted, plus you have to go, and it takes a little longer to get things to happen, that I became frustrated. But what it made me realize is I used to occasionally, when I was, you know, needing to go really quick, I would jump in that bathroom because there was nobody there, you know, and it's changed that for me. I won't use that bathroom.
And I encounter that.
You never know.
Yeah. I encounter that all the time.
Yes.
I'm waiting and waiting for the only handicap stall
there is. The only one you can go in.
That I can go in.
Yeah.
And somebody comes out. That's able-bodied.
That's perfectly capable of going in a smaller stall.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And going to the hospital and whatnot. You know, when you have a wheelchair, it's a lot harder to get around. And there were so many kind people, though, that knew that I couldn't open the door on my own, and my leg was sticking straight out. So it was hard for me to, you know, figure things out. So, you know, it was just so nice to see the kindness of people that were aware. But it also made me so aware of all the people that aren't aware. So no matter where you are in this world, as far as this, just understand it's not as easy to get around. And it's not just a wheelchair, it's in a walker too. It's very difficult. And we had a little comical episode at the very beginning when I first met her, talking about me not being able to carry my own coffee cup. You know, I mean, how simple is that, right? But when you've got a walker and both hands have to use the walker, you don't have an empty hand to hold your coffee mug. How simple, right? But people just take these things for granted, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Right. So we're getting near the end of our show, and I am so grateful and thankful that the Lord put you here to talk with the listeners. And it's wonderful to hear your story. It really is. Going forward, what is on your agenda? What are your plans? You know, I know you have these seven mountains, and the Lord's put you in a position to handle these things. You know, what is happening now? What are your plans?
Now is the inner healing and deliverance. It's really focusing on helping women get past those spiritual and emotional blocks and bringing our brothers and sisters, not only women, I'm sorry, I pray for men as well,
mm-hmm.
bringing them into the maturity of the Lord, because our Lord is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what we're here for, to restore the shattered soul, heal the broken heart, and heal the wounded spirit. So that's...
How do you go about doing that, Lily? I mean, just take one of your, you know, somebody without naming names,
okay.
How do you go about helping a person?
I had a woman
be healed.
I had a woman come to me, and believe it or not, she wasn't even saved yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she was,
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. She was seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, and it was the Lord. I have no idea how she found me. I am connected with my church. And she said, I was sent here by my psychiatrist. I need help. And I said, what is it? She said, I can't forgive my father. He molested me almost all my life, you know, before she married, mm-hmm. as long as she was home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I believe I can help you with the Lord. The Lord is going to do it for you. And so I did. I led her through the techniques that we use, asking the Holy Spirit to go down deep into her heart and to reveal all those things that were there. And he did. He revealed all the memories, and it was hard for her to have to go back. It was painful. And she had to go back and at that time and then begin to I also had her say, we have this packet that we give them called Steps to Spiritual Victory. We do that first. That's preparation work where they renounce all the things that could have been handed down through their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And plead the blood of Jesus over her bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into... her memories of what happened and what took place, and asking the Lord to come in.
I need to have you on the show again. Are you willing
okay.
to come back?
Yes, I am.
Because I want to get into this.
Yeah.
I have, you know, personal experience with all of what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
now. And it's such a wonderful experience to be able to help other people be healed and freed from these things that are holding them in bondage.
And I was able to get that for myself. And I know that it's there for each and every person, male or female.
That's right.
And females just seem to be a little more willing to deal with the hard work, you know, that's too bad, but it is the way it is. So in closing, how would someone get in contact with you? I'm going to put it on the website, Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com.
It's Lily Simmons at Verizon.net, and that's with one L, LILYSIMMONS at Verizon.net.
Okay, and I'll have that on the website, Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, so you can connect with Lily and connect with me. And until next week. Oh, sorry. Hurry.
Just wanted to say if they want the book, because it also will explain a lot of this in it, they can get that at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Perfect. All right. So there you have it. And another wonderful day. And make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. Look for an opportunity. And maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's more. Who knows? But just ask God to guide you. So until next week, have a wonderful, wonderful day. And God loves you.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.